to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark LeBunier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear Ann Southern in The Adventures of Maisie. But right now, it's an audition broadcast of June's My Girl. This first released for network consideration on October 4th, 1948, and stars Diana Lynn, Alan Reed, Harry Bartell, and Parley Bear, who plays two parts.
June's My Girl. And fellas, what a girl.
We present a brand new comedy show entitled June's My Girl. And as her boyfriend Jimmy just said, what a girl. Our June is played by the lovely young screen star whom you'll all remember for her roles in Our Hearts Were Young and Gay, Miracle of Morgan's Creek, and her newest picture, Ruthless, Diana Lynn. And now let's settle back, relax, and listen to June's My Girl. June Morgan works at the Nichols Employment Agency for Mr. Nichols, who is a school-day chum of her mother's. Unfortunately for Mr. Nichols, the agency isn't doing too well and is at present in the hands of a receiver, the Second National Bank. But this isn't too unfortunate from June's point of view, since the bank has sent in Jimmy Crane to look after its interests. And after all, there's no reason why a good-looking young fellow can't look after the interests of a bank and also the interests of a girl named June.
Huh? Good morning, Nichols Employment Agency. I beg your pardon. A college girl to give the baby his bottle? Oh, not a college girl, a chorus girl. Well, how old is the baby? Going on 37? Better take away his bottle. He's had too much already. Goodbye.
Good morning, you and me.
Oh, good morning, Ole.
Well, that's 12.
What's 12?
That's just 12 times today that I said good morning. I said it to Mr. Janssen up on the 8th floor, and he jumped all over me. Last night, he had a party in his office after I cleaned up, and this morning, there was yin and yin-yer ale all over the desks. Then I said good morning to Mr. Thomas in 1202, and he yelled at me, Mr. Davidson, Mr. Fowler, Uni. There's something I've been trying to figure out ever since you got me this job. Why does everybody yump on the janitors?
Well, cheer up, Ole. After all, you might have said good morning 14 times.
I never thought of that. After all, every cloud has got a silver-plated lining.
You mean all is not gold-filled that glitters?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yes.
Is it okay if I sweep up in her now?
Oh, sure, go ahead. Good morning, Nichols Employment Agency. Oh, hello, Wilbur. Yes, this is June. No, Mr. Nichols isn't in yet. What? Oh, no, Wilbur, not again. Yes, Wilbur, I'm sure it wasn't your fault. I'll tell Mr. Nichols you called. Goodbye. Only Wilbur's out of work again.
How long did he last this time?
3 days.
Well, that's a long time for Wilbur.
It's a record, but it really shouldn't count. He was working for the post office, and the first day he fell down a mail chute. He just got back from Chicago this morning, special delivery.
Well, if you ask me, Uni, he's just a yerk. It's a lucky thing for Wilbur that his uncle is president of the bank.
Yes, sir, may I help you?
Baby, if you can't, nobody can.
Well, I'm afraid you're in the wrong office. This is an employment agency. Smart Saying magazine is down the hall.
Ouch. I go clean up Yumi's office before he comes in. But if you want me, Uni, just holler.
Well, I'll be able to manage. Thank you, Ole.
Well, now that you've whittled me down, I'd like to see Mr. Crane.
Oh, Mr. Crane isn't in, but I can take your application. Name, please.
Ned Taylor. What's yours?
Address and telephone.
672 West 83rd Street, and I never give my telephone number to strange girls on account of I don't have a telephone.
Education?
College, the Army, and a few items picked up here and there. Let's go off alone somewhere. I'll tell you all about it, huh?
Past experience.
Some, but not with a girl like you.
I'm asking for past employment experience, and you can either answer or please go away and let me do my work.
Okay.
Excuse me. Good morning. Nichols Employment Agency. Who? Oh, Mother. Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Excuse me, Mr. Taylor. I miss you too, Mother, but golly, you shouldn't be calling me all the time. From Little Falls, it costs money. Yes, dear, of course I wear galoshes when it rains. Is that why you called? Tell me, how's Daddy? Good. And Victor? How's Twinkle? Puppies? How many? Oh, shame on her. Oh, I'd love to have one, but they never let me have a dog in the Dolly Madison Hotel.
They won't even let you have a man.
Please, this is a personal conversation. What's that, Mother? No, that wasn't Jimmy. It was just Oh, you'll love Jimmy when you meet him. All right, dear, I'll write every day. Goodbye.
I bet I'll love Jimmy, too.
Why do you keep trying so hard to act fresh? Don't you see, we can't help you unless you'll tell us something about your experience.
Well, let me see. I'm the steady type. My last position was flat on my back in an army hospital. I stuck with that for 2 years, and before that I had 3 years as a chauffeur in a B-29.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be nosy.
No. Don't give it a thought. I want you to know all about me. Before the army, I was in school. I studied mathematics, ancient history, and Latin. Do you know of a job where that would come in handy?
Ancient history and Latin? Sure, you're equipped to be a Roman emperor.
You know, that sounds like a good job. I'll take it.
Hiya, Journey.
Oh, hello, Jimmy. This is Jimmy Crane. Jimmy, Mr. Ned Taylor.
Well, Jimmy.
Ned.
I told you I'd come in and see you. I went down to the bank, and they told me to come up here. What's up?
Oh, I still work at the bank, but we're the receivers for this outfit. The bank sent me over here.
It seems you two know each other.
Why, sure. Joe Ned was in my outfit. He was flying B-29.
Yes, I know.
Oh. Say, Ned, June and I have been... well... Yes, I know. Oh, you do? Well, you know, June, this guy was a great flyer, but there was one time he forgot to duck. 2 years in the hospital.
Yes, I know.
Oh, you know that, too?
Yes.
Well, anyhow, Ned, June is from Little Falls. She's only been in New York 11 months.
And she has a brother named Victor, a father and mother in good health, and her dog, Twinkle, just had puppies.
Are there any other interesting facts you'd care to tell me?
Yes. Indeed, old boy, she lives at the Dolly Madison Hotel.
Would you two like to be alone?
Jimmy, those pretty blue eyes of yours are turning green. Ned came in for a job, and I took his application.
Well, don't get me wrong. Ned's my pal. I trust him. Like I trust Tommy Manville.
Isn't that strange? Every time I meet a man under 84, Jimmy trusts him like he trusts Tommy Manville.
Look, June, Ned's a sweet guy and all that, but I know him. He's a wolf. No, believe me. When we were in basic at Tallahassee, there was this blonde. And at Pearl, there were two brunettes. What happened in Sydney, I can't even tell you about. I know this guy chased dames from one end of the globe to the other because we were bunkmates.
And while he was chasing dames, you were sitting up night studying the infantry drill regulations.
Well, that's beside the point.
Yes.
Suppose I tell you that Ned doesn't even want a job.
Well, suppose you tell me about Little Red Riding Hood instead. You make the part about the wolf so realistic.
No, on the level. He admitted to me that he was conning you along because he thought you were cute.
Yes, but he's not working.
He's got a few bucks, so he's looking for laughs. Now, will you admit you were wrong about him?
No.
No?
No, he needs a job, a steadying influence, even if he doesn't realize it himself. That would straighten him out.
But, June...
Oh, anybody can get a job for somebody who wants it. This is more important. Don't you see, to help a nice boy like that get on his feet even
good
when...
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Nichols.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Standing around. Everybody is standing around. Just tell me, why is everybody standing around? Well, say something, somebody.
Yesterday, you were mad because we were sitting down.
Why must I do all the work around here myself? Why don't I get any cooperation? I try to be nice. I want us to be one big happy family. I'm the soul of generosity. When we work nights, don't I always supply the Benzedrine?
You know, Mr. Nichols, I've been wondering why it's necessary to do so much night work. It seems to me with a little reorganization...
Not at all, my boy. If you want to get ahead in this world, you can't be a clock watcher. Now, take me, for instance. Out first thing in the morning, busy all day making contacts. By the way, Jimmy, I hope you'll make a note of that in your monthly report to the bank. Yes, sir, if you don't work, you'll never get to first base.
You're so right, Mr. Nichols. Incidentally, who won the ball game yesterday?
The Yanks, 4-3. What a game. Greatest ninth-inning rally I ever saw. Heard, read about. June.
Yes, Mr. Nichols.
Why are these 2 3-cent stamps and all these letters when airmail is only 5 cents?
Oh, well, you said rush, and there were no airmail stamps in the petty cash box.
How many times must I tell you not to call it petty cash? No cash is petty. I know you're new on the job, but there are some things you should have learned by now.
Well, I've been here 11 months, Mr. Nichols, and the only thing I haven't learned is how to get along on the salary you pay me.
Your salary is well above... Any messages for me?
Yes. Prepare yourself for a shock, Mr. Nichols.
A shock? June, not Wilbur.
Wilbur?
Oh, no. Now the president of the bank will be on my neck again.
Oh, poor Wilbur. I might have known there'd be politics in the post office. Well, we've got to find him another job, that's all. What are we waiting for? This is a crisis. On your toes, everybody. You can't just sit around on your Mr. and Mrs. Van Cleve. What a pleasure to see you.
Is it really?
Mr. Nichols, I'm in a positive tizzy. You must help me.
Nothing gives me greater pleasure than helping valued old clients like yourself, my dear lady.
Oh, I was in a dither yesterday, but today's tizzy makes yesterday's dither look like an absolute flippet today. That's silly, isn't it?
Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Please step into my office, Mrs. Tizzy. Mrs. Silly.
The name is Flibbit.
In such a flippant, dither. Poor little Cabot. The dear boy is having such a difficult time.
My dear, Cabot never has a difficult time, but the people around him find life virtually impossible.
Mr. Van Cleve, my entire organization will devote itself single-mindedly to the task of finding a suitable companion for little Cabot. Miss Morgan, make a note of that.
Yes, Mr. Nichols.
Oh, and you'll be sure to let Cabot meet him by noon, so there'll be time to catch the boat.
Yes, for the love of heaven, don't let him miss that boat.
You don't have to worry, Mr. Van Cleve. You have the word of a Nichols.
I trust you won't be shocked if I continue to worry.
Well, I feel enormously relieved. Good day, Mr. Nichols. Hmm?
Your servant, Mrs. Diver. Mrs. Van Cleve. Good Cleve, Mr. Van Day.
Good day.
June, get Wilbur on the phone.
I can't, Mr. Nichols. He told me he was going to the park.
The park?
Yes, he said he had to take his dog for a walk.
Walking his dog? This is the chance of a lifetime for Wilbur. The Van Cleve's 10-year-old son, little Cabot Van Cleve, going on a world cruise. Needs a companion.
Oh, but Mr. Nichols, Wilbur's all wrong for that job.
That's beside the point. He'll be hired. I'll see to that. And an hour later, little Cabot will be sailing away and all our troubles will be over. Where's Jimmy?
In his office, interviewing applicants.
Oh, well, then I'll go find Wilbur. If he calls, tell him I'm looking through the park near his apartment on 81st Street. He can meet me there.
Yes, Mr. Nichols.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Ole, can't you watch where you're going?
Excuse me, Mr. Nichols. I was just coming in, and you was just coming out.
Oh, you was just... Well, just get out of my way.
You see, Uni, everybody is always yumping on the janitor.
Darn it, Ole. The whole world has to stop dead in its tracks while we find a job for Wilbur. Just because his uncle is the president of the bank.
That's the truth. And this is no time for Mr. Nichols to put all his eggs in one biscuit.
Don't you mean too many cookies spoil the broth?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You remember that nice young veteran who was in here this morning? Well, Mr. Nichols has found just the thing, a trip around the world, and he's going to give it to that useless Wilbur. He's tearing up to 81st Street right now to catch him. Oh, Ole, what am I going to do?
You just got too big a heart. You take on everybody's troubles. It's too much for you. We all got our own. I wanted to become a famous painter, and instead I became a famous janitor. Yeah, but do I worry? No, I still make my living with a brush.
Good morning, Nichols Employment Agency. Wilbur. No, Mr. Nichols just left. He's looking for you. Yes. Where? At 91st in the park. Yes, if you stand right there, he'll find you. And he's got a job for you. That's right, 91st Street. Goodbye.
Uni. You told me 81st, and you told Wilbur 91st.
I did? Oh, that's terrible. Well, Mr. Nichols has to get Wilbur to the Van Cleves no later than noon. If he wanders around 81st Street while Wilbur moons around 91st Street, they'll never make it.
But what are you going to do, Uni?
Only you've got to help us.
Just tell me how, Uni.
Well, now, look, it's almost 10 o'clock. Now, here's the address. Run up and get Mr. Ned Taylor down to the Van Cleves at 16 East 64th, not later than noon.
Uni, I think maybe you...
Now, don't argue, Ole. It's like you always say, a rolling stone gathers no moss.
Did I say that?
Yes. Now, get rolling.
Right now, June is paying a call on Mr. Van Cleve.
Mr. Van Cleve, I have good news for you. The agency has found just the man to be a companion for your son. A little Cabot, isn't it?
Yes, but you know, young lady, Mrs. Van Cleve's instructions are that Cabot is to approve the companion.
Oh, I know he'll like Ned. But maybe I could talk to Cabot before Ned arrives, you know, to sort of smooth the way.
Smoothing the way where Cabot is concerned requires the tact of an Iranian diplomat plus the leveling power of a steamroller.
Oh, I have a little brother at home, and I never had any trouble with him. After all, Cabot's just a child.
It has never been proved to my entire satisfaction that Cabot is a child.
But you said he was only 10?
May I point out that age is relative? The atomic bomb is only 3 years old. By the time the bomb is 10, it may attain the destructive powers of my son, Cabot.
Don't you think, Mr. Van Cleve, that when a child behaves badly, it's because his training has been wrong? With a little kindness...
From bitter experience, my dear, let me urge you to disregard kindness and do any training of Cabot with a chair and whip.
Golly, Mr. Van Cleve, you make him sound awful.
I'm given to understatement.
Oh, well, he can't be as bad as you say. May I see him?
Since we are fully covered by insurance, I presume it's all right. You will find the little monster in his lair down the hall.
Hello. You must be Cabot. My name is June.
I'm very pleased to meet you. Won't you come in?
Thank you. My, you have a lovely room here.
I try to keep my things put away so it's neat.
You know, I can't understand why your father's... You certainly seem to be a nice boy.
What did the old man... What did Pater say?
Well, it was nothing important. I came here because I want to make friends with you.
Oh, goody. I like friends. June, would you like to see my stamp collection?
Of course.
Right through this door.
Why, I...
Boy, did you take a flop.
Why, you little devil, you strung that rope there so I'd trip, didn't you?
Had you going there for a while.
Look, Cabot, I'm willing to call this a joke, since my arm is only broken in a couple of places. But now that you've had your laugh, let's talk, huh?
Okay. Better close that door so we can talk alone.
No, I'm sure we... Ouch! You little fiend, you even wired the doorknob.
Don't worry. Nobody's been electrocuted on there yet. My old man won't let me buy enough batteries.
How could you learn to be such a miserable child in only 10 years?
It was easy. My teacher says I got a natural aptitude for it.
Anyway, you're going to like Ned.
Who's Ned?
He's the fellow who's going to be your companion. I know you'll like him if you'll only give yourself a chance. And after all, you do want to take this trip, and you can't very well go alone.
My old lady is all in a trip. She got the idea from some goon she takes me to. He has me lie down on a couch and ask me dumb questions. So I give him dumb answers. going?
Out on the sidewalk to wait for Ned.
Why don't you stick around? I got a trick I want to show you with a baseball bat.
Cabot, I've fallen over the rope you strung for me. I got a shock from that wire doorknob. But I'll be darned if I'll risk being clubbed to death by a 10-year-old with a ball bat.
Sissy!
Jimmy, what are you doing here?
Oh, for heaven's sake, June, you've really gone and done it this time.
How did you know I was at the Van Cleef's?
Ollie came back and told me what you'd done, so I guessed you were here. You know, you'll probably get fired.
Fired? Oh, Jimmy, you wouldn't fire me because I tried to help Ned get this job.
Of course not, but Nichols will fire you because you didn't help Wilbur, and I can't stop him.
Well, then I'll get fired. It's happened to people before.
June, look. Didn't you tell me your mother won't let you live in New York unless you're working for someone she knows?
Yes.
Does she know anyone in New York but Mr. Nichols?
No, but... Well, okay, then. I'll go back to Little Falls rather than work in a place where an idiot like Wilbur has a better chance than a deserving guy like Ned.
Oh. Now I get it. It's Ned you're worrying about.
Now, here comes Ned now. Now, look, Jimmy. As long as it's too late to get Wilbur, don't spoil the job for Ned.
Well,
I'm getting real service in this agency.
Listen, Ned, you may be jeopardizing
my... No, please, Jimmy. Ned, little Cabot Van Cleef needs a companion to take him around the world. You'd be just right for it.
I've been around the world, baby. If I ever go again, it's not going to be with a little boy. Not enough laughs.
Well, you haven't met this little boy.
Okay, so you're not interested, Ned. Now, take a walk.
Jimmy, keep out of this.
That's right, Jimmy. June and I have things to talk about alone.
Right now, you'll do all your talking to Cabot or you can forget about talking to me. And don't think you can soft soap me or Cabot.
Oh, now, Joan, honey, please.
Listen, you threw that door in second on the left and don't
okay,
argue.
Okay, if you're steamed up, I'll talk to small fry, but I'd much rather be with you.
The way he's acting, he deserves to take a trip with Cabot.
Now, what did you accomplish? He won't take the job, and even if he does, you'll be fired.
Well, I tried. At least I went down swinging.
Uh-oh. Take a look down the street.
Mr. Nichols.
And Mrs. Van Cleef.
Oh, brother.
Young lady, I've just come from the office where Ollie told me this whole dastardly plot. You're fired. Do you understand? Discharged.
Now, listen here, Mr. Nichols. June was absolutely right.
Shut up! June, I'm sending you back to your mother as soon as I can get you on the train.
Please, Mr. Nichols, couldn't we discuss this inside? The neighbors...
I don't care who... Oh, of course, my dear Mrs. Van Cleef, forgive me. Now then, June, what's this I hear about your sending someone here to fill this job?
You're darn right I did. It's someone who could handle Cabot, and it's not Wilbur.
Now look here, I've had more experience.
Well, you got squared away with Cabot. Say, that kid's good for a lot of laughs.
Really? Oh, Ned, this is Mrs. Van Cleef. Mrs. Van Cleef, Mr. Taylor.
How do you do? Where is my baby?
Your baby is right there in his room, madam. And for a change, he's quiet.
Cabot! Angel, baby, you're all tied up.
And there's a gag in his mouth.
Oh, Mr. Nichols, help me untie poor Cabot.
Let me get at that knot.
Ah, he tied me up.
You're darn right I tied him up. Now I'll tell them why. Angel baby here cracked me in the shins with a baseball bat. Bless his furry little heart.
Oh, dear. I can feel my dither becoming a tizzy again.
My dear Mrs. Tizzy, I fired the person responsible for this.
Maybe it's just as well I am fired. Now I can speak freely. I should think, Mrs. Van Cleef, that you'd be interested in hiring a capable companion for your son.
Are you suggesting?
Yes, I am. Maybe if Cabot didn't get his way all the time, he wouldn't be the way he is. And if that gives you a tizzy, I'm sorry.
June!
I don't believe in breaking a child's spirit. Maybe Cabot is a little headstrong.
Just for the record, it would seem that my wife is given to understatement, too.
Dear Mr. Van Cleef, this is a pleasure.
Young man, you, what's your name?
Ned Taylor, sir.
You have an interesting approach to child raising.
He has no connection with my agency, Mr. Van Cleef. Believe me,
Nichols,
I would never...
you are a windbag, and I prefer to ignore you. Now, Mr. Taylor, Ned, my boy.
Oh.
Really, Henry, it seems to me that while this girl has some merit in what she says, Mr. Nichols has a man in mind who...
Ignore my wife, Ned. It's not difficult. I've been doing it for years.
Oh.
I ignore her, she ignores Cabot, and that accounts for the position we're in now.
Oh, really, Henry?
What I mean to say, Ned, is that I like your work. It's the best job I've ever seen done on Cabot, and you're hired.
Thank you, sir.
Well, you see, Mr. Van Cleve, the Nichols Employment Agency always gets its man. I know you'd be pleased with this young man that I
Nichols.
Was able to... Yes, Mr. Van Cleve.
I shall state my feelings for you in a language which you should be able to comprehend.
Yes?
You are a jerk. And in future, I shall do no more business with your agency.
But
Mr. Van Cleve, I don't think that's quite fair. You see, the man Mr. Nichols was trying to get this job for is the nephew of a bank president.
Yes, and what's so important about that?
Well, nothing, except that the president of the Second National Bank will probably close down the employment agency.
I see.
Yes, and Jimmy will be a second assistant teller again.
Well, now, I don't see why that should be necessary. You see, I happen to be the largest stockholder in that bank.
Mr. Van Cleve, you'll never regret this as long as you live. Never. You have the word of a nickel.
And, Mr. Van Cleve, you know what a nickel's word is worth.
Indeed, I do. Precisely 5 cents.
Yes, we have just the man for you. Yes, we'll have him there first thing in the morning. Thanks for calling. Oh, Jimmy, this is wonderful.
What's wonderful?
I've got a job for Wilbur.
Oh, that's great, June. You think he can handle it?
I don't know why not. All he has to do is stand still.
Stand still? What kind of a job is that?
A man wants him to test a bulletproof vest.
Well, anyway, it's a job. Solves a big problem, and from now on, Junie, we'll have smooth sailing.
Hiya, slaves!
Ned!
Why, Ned, I thought you were on your way to Europe.
I've been to Europe. I convinced Cabot he wouldn't like an ocean voyage.
Well, how did you do that?
Oh, it was simple, simple. Cabot and I get along beautifully. Of course, this means I'll be seeing a lot of you, baby.
Did I say smooth sailing? I feel seasick already.
Yeah, sure thing, Cabot. With you in a minute.
Okay. I'll wait in the hall.
Ned, I'm so glad to see you getting on so well with Cabot. Only there's one thing.
Oh, what's that, honey?
While Cabot's bowling, I really think you should take off his handcuffs.
June's My Girl, on Tuned to Yesterday, an audition recording of a program that wouldn't come to pass from October 4th, 1948. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and now a name synonymous with the adventures of Maisie and Southern, who had been in a string of motion pictures based on the character for MGM. This next episode from March 9th, 1950, was broadcast during the same year that Ann Southern was in two motion pictures, a film noir called Shadow on the Wall, and a musical comedy called Nancy Goes to Rio with co-star Carmen Miranda. It's The Adventures of Maisie.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about... Ouch!
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the fella said. Maisie Revere. When I was just a kid, I had to leave school to help support the family. My old man was the superstitious type. He wouldn't work any week that had a Tuesday in it. So naturally, I always hungered for a real formal schooling. And finally, my dream came true. Today is graduation day. Gosh, I'm nervous. There on the platform is Professor McVicker, handing out the diplomas. When the professor called out my name and asked me to come up for my diploma, I was so excited I almost swallowed my gum.
Maisie Revere?
Yes, honey. Professor.
Miss Revere.
Yes?
As a reward for your conscientious efforts, those long, grueling hours of study, this institution awards you its highest badge of merit, your diploma.
Oh, gee.
Now raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I.
Your name, please.
Your name, please. Oh, I mean Maisie Revere.
I promise never, by word or action, to violate the sacred trust with which I have been endowed.
So do I.
Miss Revere, it gives me no pleasure whatsoever to present you with this diploma.
Oh, gee, thanks, Professor. Golly, just think. Now I'm a full-fledged manicurist. Now, what barbershop do I go to work at, Professor?
Miss Revere, I'd like to recommend you to the shop where I get my nails done.
You would?
Yes, I'd like to. But I can't.
Oh.
You have graduated at the very bottom of your class.
Mm.
This institute demands perfection before we can recommend you to a barbershop. After all, you did flunk hangnails.
Mm.
And your half-moon instructor tells me you handled the cuticle pusher like a snowplow.
Well, I did get 4 out of 5 correct on the daily manicuring exams, and the student I worked on said I should get an A for speed.
Oh, really, Miss Riddell? Which student was that?
Oh, there she is out there, the one with the bandage on her hands.
Yeah, yes. Well, now, here's the name of a barber shop that might need the services of a capable... of a manicurist.
Oh, Joe's Tonsorial Parlor. Oh, gee, thanks, Prof.
It isn't a large shop, mind you, Miss Revere. Only 2 chairs and a copy of Esquire. But Joe might be interested in putting you on.
Oh, gosh, Professor, you're a sweetheart. I don't know how to show my gratitude.
Well, Miss Revere, there is a way. Should anybody ask you at what school you learn manicuring...
Yes.
Do us a great favor and don't tell them. Goodbye and good luck, Miss Revere.
Hello, Joe's Tonsorial Parlor and Shaving Solarium. Put your face in our hands. Joe speaking.
Hello, this here is Nick the Boogie speaking. Is Steve the barber there?
Oh, sure. Steve, there's somebody on the phone for you.
What's he want?
What do you got?
Well, tell him I'm busy.
Put down that racing form and answer the phone. It's Nick, your bookie.
Oh.
I told you lots of times to ask him not to call you during business.
Now look, Joe, someday a horse of mine will come in and then you'll be working for little Stevie. Ah. Give me that phone. Hello, Nick.
Hi, Steve, Nick. What nag you throwing your door away on today?
Laughing water in a second. $2 on the nose.
Got the dough, Stevie?
Oh, gosh, you know me, Nick.
Dough, Stevie.
Oh, don't worry, Nick. I'll have the dough for you if I have to get it honestly. Now, you just stop around. If I'm out to lunch, I'll leave the dough for you.
Okay, sucker. I'll be there. So long.
Now, Joe, how about $1.50? Huh?
Oh, no.
Oh, you'd loan a measly piece of change like that to somebody you know, wouldn't you?
Yeah, sure I would, stranger.
Oh, I'll pay it back tomorrow. That nag's coming in, I tell you.
So is Mr. Hotchkiss. I still owe him $52 on these barber chairs, and all I got is $35. I got troubles, too. Where am I going to get the other, the rest of the money?
Look, I'm telling you, Joe, it's a cinch. $2 on laughing water, and we'll be sitting on air.
So will the customers. If Mr. Hotchkiss don't get his money today, he's taking out the chairs.
Good morning. I'd like to see
you. Well. Hi, babe. What's cooking?
Looks like you are. There's steam coming out of your eyes, buddy. I'd like to see Joe, the boss. Are you it?
No, little Stevie don't like responsibilities. I'm as free as a breeze.
Well, why don't you blow? All I'm interested in is the boss man. Is he around?
Joe's right in front of you.
Where?
Look down.
Oh. Oh. Well, Mr. Joe, I'm Maisie Revere.
Hi.
Well, they told me at the school from which I have just graduated from which, that you might have some use for a manicurist.
I'm sorry, Maisie. We don't need a manicurist. We already outnumber the customers 2-1.
Hey. Hey, wait a minute, Joe. There's a man looking in the window. Maybe he can be converted into a customer.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you, sir? Shave, haircut, mud pack, massage, shampoo?
I'm just looking.
Why don't you come over here where you can get a closer look?
Sun lamp, shoe shine, facial, singe?
No.
Manicure?
Sure.
Do I get the job, Joe?
Go right ahead, Maisie. This is the first customer we've had all week.
Oh, thanks, boss. Now, sir, will you sit down, please?
Sure. What are you doing tonight, sister?
Tonight?
Yeah.
Take taking my judo lesson. Any other questions, mister?
Well, in that case, I'll just have a manicure.
Yeah, sure. Now, let's see. How do I start again?
Oh, now, look, miss,
oh,
I was only...
don't tell me. I'll remember in a minute. Oh, yeah. First, I gotta file your nails. Give me your hand.
Hey, miss.
Yeah?
Don't you think I better take off my gloves first?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I just thought you'd like to keep mine while I did your nails because it's so cold in here. Well, here I go again, mister. Wish me luck. All finished, Mr. Perkins. Come back again soon after the scars heal.
Sure. It was worth everything just having my paws held by such a doll. Bye, miss.
Goodbye, Harry. Gee, what do you know? Harry gave me $1.50 tip.
$1.50? Say, Maisie, could
no.
You...
Ha, smart girl, Maisie. Don't listen to that Lindlouse. He's trying to chisel enough to bet on a horse in the fifth race.
It's running in the second race.
I'm talking about when it comes in.
Well, Joe, am I hired permanent?
You're hired.
Good. Now, how about lunch?
Hey, it's a good idea. I'm starved.
Oh.
Look, you watch the shop, Maisie. In case a man comes to collect a bill while I'm gone, give him the $35 in the cash register. It's a sort of a part payment on these two barber chairs, see? I'd like to make it more, but things ain't been so good.
Well, don't worry. I'll take care of it.
No, Maisie, you must be starved. You go out to lunch. I'll stand guard over the money.
I know. You don't leave a rabbit loose in a field of lettuce. Bye, Maisie.
Bye, boss, and hurry back. I got $1.50 of lunch to eat.
Come on, Steve. If you want to watch something, watch me eat.
But gosh, Joe, I should wait for Nick. He's coming in for that $2 bet on Laughing Water.
Come on, come on. I'm saving you money.
Well, something new has been added.
Yeah, I'm the manicurist. Anything I can do for you today? I mean, besides that. We've got a special on haircuts. 75 cents or two for $1.25.
No, thanks, baby. I don't have two heads.
You could have fooled me.
Well, I'm back from lunch, Maisie. Maisie, where are you?
Over here, Joe. I'm putting fresh towels in the hot towel cabinet.
Oh.
Gosh, Joe, I had no idea you stayed at so many hotels.
Huh? Oh. I get around, Maisie. Hey, tell me, did the man come from the chair money?
Yeah, about 20 minutes ago.
Oh.
He took it and left.
Yeah? Wasn't he sore? I mean, didn't he argue because it wasn't enough?
No. As a matter of fact, I didn't think he expected that much.
Yeah, that's funny. With me, if I'm a nickel short, he raises the roof.
Well, with me, he was as gentle as a kitten, Joe.
Okay, Joe. Let's have it.
Oh, back again, Mr. Hotchkiss.
Back? What do you mean, back?
Maisie, look who is here.
Oh, good morning, sir. What would you like, a manicure? Sure, sit down.
Come on, no stalling. Give.
Give? Maisie.
Yeah, Joe.
Where is it?
It? Oh, you just go through there. It's the first...
Look, don't try to razzle-dazzle me with comical stuff. Where's the money for the chairs?
The money? But Maisie gave it already. Didn't you, Maisie?
Yeah, but not to him.
Huh?
No, it was another fellow came in for money. An Indian.
An Indian?
Yeah, tough-looking one with a mean jaw. When he smiled, his chin made a fist.
Oh, fine. That was Nick.
Well, Joey, I'm waiting, and you know me. I know from nothing.
Look, Mr. Hotchkiss, please. We can straighten this out. All I need is a little time.
Sure, take an hour. That's little enough. And if you haven't got the money, I'm yanking those barber chairs out here.
Yeah. Maisie, now you've done it. I'm going to be put out of business.
Gosh, Joe, how was I supposed to know I gave it to the wrong guy? Look, he even gave me a receipt.
Let me see. $35 on Laughing Water. Maisie, this is a receipt from a bookie.
A bookie? Oh, my gosh. I just put a barber shop on a horse. Say, maybe, Joe, Mr. Hotchkiss will let you keep these barber chairs if you could raise part of that $35. Say, $25.
Yeah, but how are we going to raise $25?
I don't give the answers, Joe, just the questions.
Maybe we could raise the prices of haircuts.
Were we going to raise the customers?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Besides, Joe's only got an hour to get up the cash.
Hey, I've got an idea.
Yeah?
And no.
Oh. Oh. Look, why can't we,
Yeah?
Yeah?
No, it won't work.
Oh. Well, suppose I go to Mr. Hotchkiss and beg for mercy. You know, throw myself at his feet.
No, no, maybe I better do it.
Yeah, in your case, it's a much shorter throw.
No, I made the mistake, and I'll talk to him. It's true he may throw me out in my ear, break my arm, or sick his goons on me, but I'm the one who loused up everything, and I'm the one that should go. Well, fellas, ain't you going to talk me out of it?
No.
Hmm. And I thought you were gentlemen. Mr. Hotchkiss, I'd like to appeal to your better nature about...
Just a minute, please. I'm on the phone. Look, I don't care if she is 75 years old. No, and I don't care if she's sick either. She owes me $20 for furniture, and if I don't get the money at once, out she goes into the street. Yeah, I know she's my own mother, but that makes no difference. Business is business. Yes. Goodbye, Father.
Yes, miss? What can I do for you?
I'm the manicurist at Joe's barber.
Oh, yes. That little matter of $52.
That's right. Mr. Hotchkiss, you couldn't be as mean as you look.
Want to bet?
If Joe doesn't hold on to that job of his poor kids will go hungry and maybe starve. No clothes, no food, no home. Walk in the streets, cold, hungry. Nothing to live
Please,
for.
Please, miss, say no more, or I shall break into tears.
Money. There are other things in this world besides money.
Well, don't tell me what they are. It'll only confuse me. Miss, I want that money, and that's all. It so happens I have a one-track mind.
One-track mind. Oh. Oh, well, that's why I'm here, Mr. Hotchkiss. You didn't happen to lose a receipt for a horse bet when you were in the barbershop this morning, did you?
Young lady... I never bet on horses.
Oh, then I guess this receipt dropped out of Mr. Fairchild's pocket while he was getting a shave.
Mr. Fairchild?
Uh-huh. The multimillionaire sportsman who bets on horses and makes a fortune. Last year he made $1 million on them.
That's just oodles and noughts, isn't it?
Yes.
However, that receipt didn't drop out of my pocket. Now, about the
$52... Oh, that'll have to keep. I simply must return this receipt to Mr. Fairchild. The race goes on in an hour, and if this ticket should happen to fall into the wrong hands... Well, $35 at 99 to 1 would be,
$3,465.
Oh, gee. You're faster at figures than Jack Benny. Well, I must return this receipt to the filthy rich, money to burn, enough to get all the cars, yachts, and pretty girls he wants, Mr. Fairchild.
Money, girls. just a minute, miss. I have coming to me $52, which you don't have. And this Mr. Fairchild person has a chance of winning $3,465, which he doesn't need. Now, how about it?
Why, Mr. Hotchkiss, I haven't the faintest idea what you mean.
Well?
Oh, well, I hardly think it's fair to let you have Mr. Fairchild's race receipt so as you can forget all about the $52 Joe owes you.
And how did you suspect I had that in mind, miss?
Oh, just took a wild guess.
Well, what do you say? Is it a deal?
Well...
If you'd rather not.
Oh, you just talked me into it. Here's the receipt. Goodbye, Mr. Hotchkiss.
Ah, laughing water. 99 to 1, $3,465. Oh, Hotchkiss, you sly old fox. I could kiss you.
Hotchkiss? Did you get the money from Joe the barber?
No, I got something better.
Something better than money, eh? Hotchkiss, have you been drinking?
Wait till you see, boss.
See this receipt? $35 on Laughing Water in the second race. Information straight from the pocket, I mean mouth, of the richest horse better in the country.
Do you have rocks in your head, Hotchkiss? No one can win money on horses.
But,
And anyone who would wager good money on anything as unpredictable as a horse race is a complete idiot.
Hello? It's for you, boss.
Who is it?
Your bookmaker.
Oh, give me that phone. Hello, Benny. What's that? Okay, I'll send you the $4,000 at last. See, by the way, Benny, you know a horse named Laughing Water in the second? Yeah, thank you.
Well?
He says Laughing Water's a dark horse.
He is?
He has yet to come in before dark. Hotchkiss, if you don't get that 52 from Joe and bring it right to me, you're out of a job.
Don't worry, boss. I'm going back to Joe's with this race receipt and get that money or the chairs.
Believe me, Joe, you got nothing to worry about. I tell you, Laughing Water is ready. I just come from the stable.
Yeah, I thought it was just that cheap hair tonic you've been using.
Here, just gaze your eyes on that nag's record. You see, Laughing Water, 1938, finished 10th. 39, finished 9th. 48, 41, 7th. You see, Joe, she's moving ahead.
What's she been doing since 1941?
Resting, Joe, resting. Just lying back under a tree with her hoofs crossed behind her head and resting. Saving her strength.
For 9 years?
Uh-huh. Now she's ready. She's a cinch.
Cinch,
Joe,
huh?
Steve, I ran all the way back. I got news for you. Great big fat news.
I got news too, Maisie. Laughing Water is ready.
For what? The glue factory? Look, fellas, before you go any further, I gotta tell you.
No, Maisie, look. Look, I think Steve is right. We got a chance. Let them take the chairs. When our horse comes in, we'll be able to buy new ones. And, Maisie, I won't forget you. If the horse wins, I promise you will be in clover.
In, you mean under.
Oh, now, let's see.
Look, fellas,
don't let her kid you, Joe. The race is in the bag.
And we're holding it.
And Maisie, you don't seem to be happy about this.
Look, Joe, I don't know how to tell you this, so...
Yeah?
So I won't. All I can say is...
Later, Maisie, later. It's just about race time. I'll turn on the radio.
But I don't...
Good.
And they're off. 18 horses in a cloud of dust.
Hey, where's the Laughing Water?
Probably behind the cloud. Joe, I want...
McAvoy takes an early lead. Bushwhacker is on the rail. Rifkin and Eisvogel are bunched together. And look, one of the horses is still having trouble getting out of the starting gate.
Probably Laughing Water.
It's Laughing Water.
What else?
Oh, fine.
Don't worry, Joe. She'll get out and win. Laughing Water's heart pumps fighting blood.
Too bad it didn't pop into her feet.
At the first quarter, Dollface is in the lead. She's now 3 lengths ahead of the field. What? There's Rapkin and Eisvogel neck to neck. And now there goes Laughing Water.
Where?
Laughing Water is gaining fast, running like crazy. It won't surprise me if she caught up with her jockey.
Lost to her jockey? What's her jockey doing?
Probably when they had to clear the pebbles out of her way.
Now at the three-quarter mark, Dollface is 4 lengths ahead. Rifkin and Eisvogel have dropped out of contention.
They would.
It's now between Bushwhacker and Dollface.
Hey, you miss. I want my money and my receipt back for the chair.
Don't bother us, chum. Just pick up a razor and cut yourself a piece of throat.
Yeah, we're listening to the race. We got a lot of dough on Laughing Water.
Me too, but I'm going to get it back.
Sorry, chum. Too late.
Now they're heading into the stretch. It's a Dollface and a Bushwhacker. Dollface and Bushwhacker. And wow, here comes Laughing Water.
No.
Laughing Water.
Come on, Laughing Water. Don't knock yourself off the filthy gold.
Here comes Laughing Water, running like a man. She's third. She's a second.
Mr. Hotchkiss, did you say something about wanting your chair receipt back?
Are you crazy? Come on, Laughing Water, come on.
Your baby needs new shoes. Little Joe needs a new shop.
Little Maisie needs an ass.
Come on, Laughing Water, you can't lose. You can't lose.
But try, honey, try.
And here's the winner, ladies and gentlemen, the Laughing Water.
Oh,
yes, folks, a 99-1 shot won.
You hear that, Maisie? Aren't you happy? Well, say something.
Rah, rah, rah.
Stand by, folks, for the official report from the judge.
What? Well, Maisie, the ticket.
The ticket?
Yeah, on the horse.
Well, Mr. Hotchkiss here, he,
If you're thinking about what I'm thinking, Joe, I've got it.
Got what?
The receipt.
Oh, Maisie, you didn't.
I exchanged it with him for... Oh, you're going to hate me.
On that you can bet.
We made nothing.
Look, Joe, I thought I was doing the right thing. Oh. I guess I'm just a meddling fool.
You can say that again.
I'm just a meddling fool.
And you're fired. Thousands of dollars you cost me and my show. Oh, Mom told me there'd be days like this.
Just a minute, folks, just a minute. What? What's this? A foul has been claimed.
Yes,
the judges have disqualified Laughing Water. Disqualified? It seems a horse can't win a race without a jockey. Now, here's the winner, Dollface.
What? Does that mean your horse lost?
No, chum, your horse lost. And you're out exactly $52, so then, yeah.
Amazing, oh, you're wonderful.
I could kiss you. Lift me up, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, it's nothing, fellas. Just a touch of genius, that's all.
Oh, to me, it was everything. You paid off my debt, and we still got the chairs.
Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? Now we can starve sitting down.
In just a moment, we shall return to the adventures of Maisie.
Well, I'm back, like the fella just said, but not at Joe's barbershop. It seems that a famous pianist who was giving a recital tonight came in for a manicure. And, well, I ain't saying how many of that piano player's fingers I damaged, but I sure hope he knows how to play chopsticks. Well, I gotta eat tonight, so might as well prowl around for a pawn shop. I wonder how much I can get on a pair of manicuring scissors, slightly bent.
Just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern.
The Adventures of Maisie, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 9th, 1950, a syndicated broadcast. And so closes this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.